Right, so Spain has just turned Israeli settlements from a political argument into a commercial problem. That's about Israel and the likes of the EU, and a lot of very comfortable companies are now not very comfortable with at all. Not a protest, not a statement, not another round of concern, but a regulator quietly saying you don't get to sell holidays on illegally occupied land and pretend that's just business. Once a state does that, once one state does that, the whole settlement model starts to look less like housing, which is what we're all led to believe it is, and more like what it actually is, a revenue operation that only works because everyone else keeps looking away or knows no different thanks to the likes of the mainstream media. And this is about more than just a few rental listings disappearing, though. This is locking in a bigger problem for Israel because it exposes how settlements have been propped up for years, not just with ideology, but with tourism and platforms and subsidies and normalization all dressed up as leisure. Spain didn't change international law to do this. It simply applied it, which turns out to be a bit of a novelty, doesn't it? But once that happens, the excuse that nothing can be done or nothing could be done simply stops working. Right, so Spain hasn't just issued another statement here. It hasn't just convened a panel or floated a resolution or urged restraint. God, we're sick of hearing that one, aren't we? It has acted quietly, procedurally, and in doing so, it's changed how Israeli settlements function in the real world and exposed how we should all be looking at them, which is as just far more than just places for settlers to illegally settle. It's about more than how they are talked about, how they are condemned, but also how they operate as an economic system for Israel as well. Spain has ordered the removal of settlement holiday rental listings from online platforms operating in its market, treating those listings as unlawful commercial activity in occupied territory, which is exactly what it is. But that decision lands far beyond just tourism. It lands on the settlement project itself, because it cuts into one of the ways that project sustains, finances, and normalizes itself. Because for years, international responses to settlements have lived in language rather than consequence. Governments have reiterated that settlements are illegal under international law, which they are, and then allowed the same settlements to be marketed, monetized, and integrated into global consumer systems. Capitalism strikes again, as if legality were just a matter of opinion. Spain has just stopped doing that. It's just drawn a line between recognition and enforcement, and for once, the enforcement has shown up. The immediate trigger is a pretty straightforward one as it happens. Spain's Ministry of Consumer Affairs has identified more than 100 holiday rental listings located in Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank and has ordered their removal, warning platforms of regulatory action if they fail to comply. So the justifications are just rhetorical. These properties are located in territory recognised by Spain, like a great many other countries as well, internationally, as occupied. And the activity being offered to Spanish consumers is therefore unlawful. No sanctions regime, no emergency powers, no foreign policy theatrics, just consumer law being applied to an illegal situation. But what makes this disruptive is not the number of listings, it's the way it reframes what these settlements are. The dominant public narrative still treats settlements primarily as housing projects, driven by ideology or demographic pressure, with everything else as secondary. Tourism under that framing is incidental. It doesn't even get talked about as a rule, does it? So Spain's intervention punctures that framing because it forces an admission that settlements are not just places people live, they are places people sell. Tourism has never been peripheral to the settlement enterprise. It's a huge part of Israel's economy. It's certainly taken a few knocks over the last couple of years, understandably so, justifiably so, I would argue. But it has also been cultivated, subsidised and expanded in the settlements precisely because it does work that housing alone cannot. Tourism brings in external money. It invites foreigners to participate in occupation without ever confronting it as such. It converts seized land into leisure space and heritage sites and lifestyle destinations. And it does it at scale. Through global platforms, it gives settlements a sheen of normality and permanence that speeches at the United Nations just never end up touching. And that design becomes clear when you look at how settlement tourism has been funded too. During the period when Yariv Levin held Israel's tourism portfolio, settlement local authorities in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, received a disproportionate share of national tourism development funding. Settlers make up under 5% of Israel's population, as it happens, yet more than 8% of the tourism development budget was channeled into projects in settlements. So that wasn't housing, That was tourism infrastructure. That was visitor centres, trails, heritage branding, wineries. The approval rate for settlement projects was markedly higher than for other local authorities, including Arab local authorities inside Israel. That wasn't an accident of demand, that was policy. And that funding pattern tells you what settlements are expected to do. They're not simply there to house an existing or burgeoning or growing population, somewhere to put people who are moving to Israel from wherever else. They're expected to generate revenue too, to attract visitors and embed themselves economically in ways that make their presence harder to undo. Tourism is one of the cleanest ways to do that because it always looks benign. A weekend stay, a hiking trail, a tasting room. None of it looks like a land grab when it's packaged properly. And online platforms are central to that packaging. Short-term rental listings in settlements have proliferated over the last decade, with hundreds of properties advertised globally and capacity for thousands of guests. These are not emergency accommodations. They're marketed as getaways, as retreats, as experiences. The platforms that host them have long argued that they are neutral intermediaries. Well, Spain has just rejected that premise. By treating the listing itself as unlawful, it's collapsed the distance platforms rely on to avoid responsibility and complicity even. So this is where the move bites. When a state declares that a category of commercial activity is illegal in its jurisdiction, platforms do not debate the politics. They assess risk instead. Spain has created a risk for them. It's told platforms that settlement tourism is not just controversial, it's non-compliant. Once that determination exists in one EU state, it stops being hypothetical everywhere else. This is why focusing on tourism, this is not a soft option. It's really quite clever by Spain, because it's a leverage point. Housing in settlements is largely internal. It depends on Israeli planning decisions, state subsidies, and domestic politics. Tourism is external. It crosses borders. It depends on foreign consumers and foreign platforms and foreign payment systems. That makes it vulnerable to enforcement by states that have no intention of sanctioning Israel wholesale, perhaps, but are no longer willing to host the proceeds of occupation in their markets. Spain's decision also exposes something uncomfortable about the European Union, the legal framework that Spain has actually used here. Because it's not unique, it's not bespoke to Spain. EU consumer law, settlement differentiation policy, and platform regulation have existed within EU regs for years. The illegality of settlements under international law is not under dispute here. We all know it. And it's there in statute of the EU. What's been missing has not been the authority, but the will to enact it. Member states have preferred to issue statements while leaving actual enforcement untouched, creating a gap between what they say they recognise and what they will allow to circulate commercially. Well, Spain just closed the gap, at least within its jurisdiction. It's shown that enforcement does not require consensus, it does not require confrontation for its own sake, it requires a regulator to say plainly that an illegal situation cannot be marketed as normal business. And this matters because it undermines the entire settlement project's claim to inevitability. Settlements have expanded not just because of ideology, but because they've been insulated from consequence. They've been allowed to function as economic nodes plugged into global systems that treat legality as optional. Spain's just disrupted that. It's taken one strand of the settlement economy and just declared it toxic. So to understand where this lands as more than just a tourism story, you have to stop thinking about settlements as static places and start thinking about them as systems that require constant reinforcement. Housing alone does not justify that placement to the outside world, and it doesn't pay for itself either. Tourism, however, that does both. It brings in external money and it launders occupation into experience. A visitor does not arrive to occupy land after all, they arrive to relax and to sightsee and to consume. This has been obvious for years if you bother to look at how settlement areas get marketed. They're rarely presented as frontier outposts or ideological enclaves. They're presented as destinations, biblical landscapes, wine regions, nature trails, family retreats. How delightful. The language is stripped of all the politics. Tourism performs that work quite good, quite quietly and efficiently, and it does it with the help of platforms that make every location look equivalent. A listing in a settlement looks the same as a listing anywhere else. And that sameness is the point. Well, Spain just broke the equivalence. By declaring settlement rentals unlawful, it's forced a distinction that platforms have spent years erasing. It has said where a property is located matters legally. And once you've said that, the entire logic of the supposed neutrality ends up collapsing. And this is where platform regulation enters the picture without even having to be named, because platform regulation in the EU is built around the idea that once illegality is notified, action is then required. Spain's just provided that notification. It's done the work the European Commission has avoided doing centrally for years, and it's done it without any ceremony whatsoever. The Commission's reluctance to act first on Israel has always been framed as caution. Spain has shown it was avoidance. So that contrast stands out rather starkly now. The EU has no trouble enforcing consumer law when it comes to the likes of counterfeit goods or unsafe products or misleading advertising. Yet when it comes to these settlements, which the EU, as I said, formally recognises as illegal already, enforcement stopped at the border. Well, Spain's demonstrated that there never was a legal barrier to that. There was a political one. There was no will. Well, the response from Israel's far-right settlement advocates has also been rather revealing at the same time here. Bezalel Smotrich, because of course it is him again, has been explicit about the purpose of accelerating settlement expansion to block the creation of a Palestinian state by creating irreversible facts on the ground. Well, tourism fits neatly into that strategy too, doesn't it? Because it internationalises those facts without requiring foreign governments to endorse them explicitly. A tourist does not vote on borders, but their money does. So when Spain interrupts that flow, it treats settlement activity as a liability rather than an asset. It tells companies that participation carries risk. It tells regulators elsewhere that enforcement is possible without collapse. And it tells other governments that the excuse of helplessness no longer holds for them. And this is where the question of replication becomes unavoidable. Spain's move is not difficult to copy, is it? It doesn't rely on unique Spanish law or any sort of exceptional authority here. Any EU member state could identify settlement link listings on the likes of whatever tourism website you might be looking at, notify platforms of illegality as a result of that, and require removal under existing consumer protection frameworks. The reason this has not happened before is not because it couldn't be done, but because it was simply politically inconvenient. And governments that won't look at this now should be asked why that is. Because as long as settlements are allowed to operate commercially across borders, they gain a form of legitimacy that no number of condemnations can counteract. They become normal business, normal travel, normal consumption. Spain just cut into that process. It's not stopped settlement expansion, but it has made one of its sustaining mechanisms visible and vulnerable. And the implications extend beyond tourism. Once you accept that settlement-linked economic activity can be treated as unlawful commerce, other sectors come into view as well, don't they? Agricultural exports, wine, guided tours, digital services. The logic's all the same. If the underlying activity is illegal, the market access built on top of it is not neutral. So what Spain has also done now is force a reckoning with how international law actually gets enforced in the modern economy. Accountability rarely arrives through grand diplomatic gestures. It arrives through the markets, through platforms, through compliance departments and insurers and payment processors. It arrives when states decide that an illegal situation will not be treated as a legitimate commercial category. Spain has acted at that level. And this also explains why tourism has been such a useful shelter for settlement expansion. Tourism sits at the intersection of culture, leisure, and commerce, which allows it to evade scrutiny that would attach immediately to arms sales or raw land seizures. It's framed as apolitical even when it is doing political work. Spain has refused to indulge that. So Spain has not criminalised travel. It's not banned Israelis from entering the country. It's not imposed collective punishment here. It has simply refused to allow illegal activity to be advertised and sold to consumers under its jurisdiction. It's a minimal standard in any other context. The fact it is treated as radical, though, tells you how low expectations have been set for so long. There's also a broader historical continuity here. Settlement expansion has always been accompanied by efforts to create facts that are difficult to reverse, like roads, infrastructure, services, and eventually economic dependencies are layered to produce permanence. Tourism is one of those layers. Spain has peeled it back. It might not be the deepest one, but it's a very visible one now, if you know where to look, if you've read the right article or watched the right video at least. The question that follows, therefore, is not whether Spain's action will be copied immediately. It might not be. The question is whether the argument for inaction survives, and frankly, it doesn't. Any government that continues to allow settlement-linked tourism to operate in its market now has to explain why it's prepared to host the proceeds of an illegal situation it claims to oppose. For platforms, the pressure will be quieter but persistent. Compliance is driven by risk. One regulator acting creates an exception. Several create a problem. Spain has started that count. It's warned seven of them. All of this returns us to the central misreading that has plagued discussions of settlements for years. Settlements are not just a political problem awaiting diplomatic resolution. They're an economic system sustained by policy choices and subsidies and external participation. Treat them as such and they become vulnerable to the same tools states use everywhere else. Spain has done that. Spain's not ended Israeli settlements, it's done something more unsettling for those invested in their permanence. It's demonstrated that the settlement project relies on others choosing not to enforce their own laws. Once that choice is exposed for what it is, the comfort of pretending that nothing could be done is gone. So Spain has not escalated the conflict over settlements, it's stripped away the pretense that their economic normalisation was unavoidable. And that loss of cover is not going to go away. It's hardly the first time Spain has taken a lead in Europe when it comes to dealing with Israel, of course. It's sad to say few have followed still, especially when it comes to the matter of arming Israel, which Spain has very much put an end to, as you can find out all about right here. Please do also hit like, share and subscribe if you haven't done so already, so as to ensure you don't miss out on all new daily content, as well as spreading the word and helping to support the channel at the same time, which is very much appreciated. Holding power to account for ordinary working class people. I shall be off for New Year's Day. I will catch you hopefully on the next one, though. Cheers, folks.